Blog Talk Radio.
Update on the market and
the powdered microgreens and so forth. All right, with that being said, let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads as we go before the Most High. Okay. Let me first make a motion that we start this meeting. Do I have a second? And just a second. Looks like my speaker has gone off. So I can hear what's going on. All right. Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3. Can I be heard?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. All right. So I make a motion that we go ahead and start this meeting. Do I have a second?
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The ayes have it. The meeting is officially in session. We'll go ahead and do our statement of faith and pray in. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. We just glorify your name on today, and we lift you up, and we magnify your name, Father, and we extol thee, and we give you all glory, honor, and praise. And truly, you are worthy of all glory, honor, and praise, Father. And we just want to thank you for all that you do for us and all that you're going to do. In Yeshua's name, hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. All right, amen. And amen. All right. Our verse for today, Psalms 133. The book of Psalms, chapter 133, verses 1 through 3. And let me pull it up here. Just say it out of my mind, then I'm going to miss something, so I won't do that. A song of degree of David. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garment, the dew of Hermon, as the dew that descends upon the mountains of Zion. For there Yah commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right, we'll go ahead and have the reading of the previous minutes by Sister Mary.
Our last meeting was June 8th, 2023. It started at 7 p.m. and it ended at 9:45 p.m. Attendees of the meeting was Brother Miles, Sister Denise, and Sister Mary.
Oh, did the screen move?
Yeah, I don't want you to click. Okay, yeah. Discussion of the meeting. The microgreen cells are a little slow, but still okay. So the Miles is taking the wellness needed to the market to the grant. So the Miles is trying to get in touch with the lady, but she's not returning his call. So the Miles is going to contact Kayla from the local USDA office. And we did our bylaws. We did section 11.16 A&E, A2E. Tracking the system and modifying housing and membership. This session has been tabled for 3 weeks. Section 11.17, membership contract renewal. This section was dropped. The section now will be renumbered. 11.18 is now 11.17, and 11.19 will be 11.18 in the next section. Okay, 11.17, and I think we renamed that A to B. We adopted it as section 11.19, safety concerns with pets. We'll table it until next week. And it's all set.
Okay. Okay. Anybody remember anything that needs to be added to this? Remember anything else? Then I'm going to make a motion that we adopt the minutes as read. I will make the correction to the spelling on the word section.
Thank you.
Yeah, I missed that myself.
I'll be trying to type fast, I think.
It happens. You can make a mistake with two fingers. No biggie.
I know.
Two big ones you had using all 10.
I know.
All right. So do I have a second for the adoption of the minutes as read?
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The ayes have it. Okay, so update, the last couple of markets, I've only had the dehydrated microgreens, the wellness mix, and we've done about the same sales at each market, selling about three, you know, because people have to get used to us having dehydrated microgreens. Still have, I made use of the promise that I would send you each a bottle. I'm still going to do that. I believe that as soon as, you know, we have a crop in right now, but we still won't have any microgreens for this coming market Friday. What I have found is that they are growing slower in the heat, and the length of the day seems to be affecting it. And so I'm going to have to put them in the dark and keep them in the dark longer so that they grow faster. Because as babies, they grow faster in the dark than they do in the light. Once they start to grow in the light, they actually slow down. They'll get thicker, but they won't grow taller. Does that make sense? That's what they're doing. And so, you know, continuing to learn how to sell the dehydrated ones and offering those to, you know, the people who are at the market. And what I have found is people who have either tried growing microgreens or are currently growing them, they understand the value of having them dehydrated and the, you know, increasing the shelf life who have tried to grow them. I had like a lady, what was at the market? Was it Wednesday? Yesterday? Yeah. She was telling me that she was growing microgreens and that they were, after she was harvesting them, they were going bad like within 2 days. And so, you know, I sort of told her how to keep them, how to make them last longer, how to store them. But then she saw the benefit of having them dehydrated. And so, you know, she bought a bottle. And, you know, the thing is, for people trying to dehydrate them, what they're going to find is you got to have a, you know, it's not worth dehydrating them if you don't have a lot to dehydrate. And so most of them won't get into it for that reason, and they'll probably continue to buy, or I won't see those same people because it should last them at least a month. If they take them every day, it should last a month. But, you know, they don't have to take them every day, and so it can last anywhere from a month to 6 months. But the shelf life is 6 months. For the dehydrated microgreens. as we are going forward, I am going to adjust the schedule for growing and make sure that I stick to it so that we have some type of crop every week. I noticed that in this crop, this current crop, in the like the broccoli and the cabbage, you have algae that starts to grow. And even though all the trays were sanitized, you know, and soaked in bleach, it's the standing water within the tray that is causing the algae to grow. It's just in the air. And I don't really want to turn the AC down any lower in that room. So what I have decided to do is turn the lights off in the initial growing process in those tents and put the seeds in there and let them just germinate and only get the light when I open the tent, you know, to water them. Other than that, they won't see light until I bring them from under, probably at the fifth or the sixth day of growing. And I want to see how that process works and see if I can cut down on the algae. With the trays we currently got going, I treated those trays with hydrogen peroxide, 3% hydrogen peroxide. We poured the old water off and had the algae in it. Then I sprayed the plant with 3% peroxide and then rewatered. We'll see how that works. If, you know, if the more seeds are germinating, because the smell of the trays, you know, I'm like, something's not right. And I didn't see any fungus, but then when I looked at the water was turning green. And so that process itself, I know that heat and light and water will either produce fungus or can produce algae. So I guess it's that time of year where the algae is coming out, and it is it was prevalent in those, not in all the trays, but in but with the broccoli and with the cabbage was in those trays. So we'll see how if treating the trays with peroxide, so draining the water off and treating the trays with peroxide, treating the plants with peroxide, and then rewatering, we'll see if those trays, you know, continue to grow and we can kill the algae because everything was young. See how that works. If not, then I'll destroy those trays and start over and see if I can keep them. I think the heat from the lights themselves, because I have going in each one of those grow rooms, I have one, two, three, four lights that were constantly running, but they generate, you know, they're LED, but they still generate heat. And so along with the, you know, the summertime heat, then keep it as cool as possible in those rooms. Then I will turn the lights out. And only when we're going to put the plant under the light after they've sprouted will we turn those lights on. So we're going to have to change the process just a little bit where we are keeping one grow room completely dark. And then once the plants sprout and they're ready to go into the light, we move those plants into the next grow room rather than being able to use both grow rooms at the same time. And we'll see how that works, see if we can get this under control. But I think once I do have a live crop to take to the market, I think we missed the last couple of weeks. But once I have a live crop along with the powder, because the powders are going for $40 a bottle, and the people who are buying it are not having a problem paying that. It's just a matter of being able to explain it well enough for them to get it. Those that, as I said, those that are actually either growing microgreens or have tried to grow microgreens, who have eaten them and saw, you know, that they didn't last long in the refrigerator, they are, you know, they were quick to say, oh, yeah, this is a good thing, and they purchased. So the goal is to increase, you know, I still want to sell live microgreens and have that the core of the business because really what's happening where we're getting the microgreens to dehydrate, those are the plants that we didn't sell from the last time. And so they reached the 10 or the 14-day mark. I harvested them, whatever we didn't sell, and came up, I think, out of all those, I came up with, I think it was 18 bottles of powdered microgreen, because I did a big grow. And we'll, you know, we'll look at if the market, what I don't want to happen is that, you know, that we become just selling dehydrated microgreens, and because they last so long, then we're gonna initially make larger sales, but we will initially make larger sales, but what will happen is because the people don't have to come back every week and buy, then I may not see them but once a month or once every 2 months, which is not going to, I don't see that as being good for business. So we're, in one way, we are not throwing away a product, but in another way, we may be cutting off business because these microgreens are, you know, the people would be using the dehydrated ones. So by next month, I will have the sales pitch down, because, you know, selling this way is different, a different sales pitch. And the two markets that I've taken them to, both markets we have made, you know, made sales. You know, so I'm actually encouraged with that. I think that, as I said, along with the live plants, the live plants have a tendency to draw people. And then, you know, you got people who want, they just want the live plants or just harvest it. And they're not wanting the powders, and that's all good. It will work out either way. I just want to make sure that that I don't sell so many that to regular customers that they, you know, don't come back for on a weekly basis, if that makes sense. Stop them, you know, because once I start offering it, then you can always buy that way. The powdered microgreens, they do add, because I'm doing a wellness mix, they do add a, you know, bit of a flavor to whatever you're adding them to. And it's because we're not adding any salt or any, you know, what's that sweetener that they have in everything, which starts with an F. Well, I can't think of the name of it. Stevia, which is a natural sweetener. We're not adding anything to these to enhance the flavor or to enhance the taste. It's 100% organic, raw, and no additives to it. Then, you know, people understand that, and I tell them, you know, how to use it. And so I do believe that it's going to be a big seller. But what I don't want to do is, as I say, you know, be selling it, and we sell so many that the regular customers are not coming back to buy on a weekly basis. Right now, a lot of the customers are weekly, and a lot of people are gone on vacation. It's summer. A lot of the snowbirds, people who are regular as snowbirds, what we call snowbirds, they come here for the winter because the winters are mild, and when the summer comes, they leave, and they go back north because, the you know, it's summertime in the north. And it's not as here. So those crowds, what we have are the crowds of people who don't leave. They stay in the valley, and it's a different type of crowd. And so I think that, you know, the word is getting out in that crowd. Had two ladies who approached me yesterday. You know, just wanting to, you know, they had heard that we were selling microgreens and they just wanted more information. Both of them seemed to be promising. One bought a bottle of the dehydrated stuff, and the other one just got the information. Also, There's a lady that sells things that, you know, dog help, you know, because a lot of people take care of their dogs better than they take care of themselves. But she bought some for her dog, but she's also going to promote it to other dog owners. That, you know, I have people buying wheatgrass just for their dog or their cat to eat on, because if an animal is sick, I don't know if you got animals. I think Sister Denise does. I don't think you do, Sister Mary. But animals, when they get any type of sickness, they want to eat grass. So if it, you know, if your cat or your dog is eating grass, they're saying there's something wrong with them, and the grass will actually address, help them to address whatever they're going through. And so a lot of people will buy wheatgrass. And, you know, I started that, selling the wheatgrass maybe a month, 6 weeks ago. It's hard to remember now because time is flying by. You know, they are buying it. And some people buy it for themselves. Some people buy it for their animals. Wheatgrass has a lot of, I think it has like 96 essential vitamins and minerals in it. And so it addresses a lot of things. But it's bitter. You know, it tastes like grass. And so what I did was any wheatgrass that I didn't sell this time, then I dehydrated it and included it in the wellness mix. And so, you know, the contents are listed on the bottle. And, you know, one thing about the dehydrated microgreens, if I don't sell them this market, then I can still take them back for like at least, I'm going to say at least 4 markets. 4 months, so that would be like 12 markets, because they still won't be bad. And as long as they can use them for a month, then they will get the benefits of it. You know, and I'll just tell them, hey, you have an expiration date. You need to use it by this date. So we can sell them, you know, hold these and sell them or keep trying to sell them for up to 5 months. And then in that fifth month, if they're not sold, then bottom line is we just have to write it off, because we wouldn't be able to sell it and it would be any good to people. But shelf life is 6 months, but we can go up to 5 months, you know, with those that have an expiration date of that 6 months. And, you know, we just have to tell them, hey, you got to use this within a month. You can't just play around with this, because it's going to lose the shelf life in a month. Or they could buy, you know, buy fresh if we have it. But the goal is to get them to buy it and use it within a month. For those people who are addressing health issues. Let's see what else. That update with the USDA. I have not heard back from anybody. This is a busy season for them, and I have not heard back from them on anything concerning, you know, the grant or anything else. But I do know that this is their busy season. And so, as I said, the farmer who is out there who also applied for grant, he's feeling like he probably won't hear anything until after the summer. He's hoping before, because he needs to start planting right after the heat leaves. You just don't plant here outside in the summer. The heat here will just suck up all the moisture out of everything. I don't care how much water you're putting on it. The sun itself will just burn them up, no matter how much water they're getting. I had plants that were actually in water last year outside. I started them on the inside, grew them to about 3 feet tall as a vine, like cucumber and cucumber and squash. And then I tried to transfer them outside to some hydroponic systems that I had put outside. And the tank had water in them and everything, but they just did not survive the sun. Now, strange is that when I'm cleaning the trays out, sometimes I have some trays that I pour out in the backyard. And there's some seeds that that are in those trays that didn't germinate at that point. But when I poured them in the backyard, they germinated and start growing as plants. And they're surviving the heat. And so I'm not quite getting, you know, getting what's going on, and it just may be the type of plant. Maybe the broccoli and the cabbage that I see can survive that. And if that's the case, then that's good, because I'm not doing anything to take care of those plants. They just get, you know, whenever I'm out there washing trays or whatever, or my son is out there doing whatever, they get some water, whenever some water is being ran out there, and that seems to be enough for them to grow. And so they are should be at the point where if I dig them up, if they're radishes, then I should be able to find some radish under the dirt, full-grown radish. So I just found that kind of weird. Let's see. So I said the USDA, haven't heard from them. I am going to, I have started researching other grants that for urban agriculture, which is what we're doing. So I saw some grants out there. I have to formulate, you know, to meet their requirement, what they're asking for, to see if we can apply and see if we can try to get any of that money. I also know that I need a partner with, you know, the college and probably a couple of other organizations, which I sent an email to Kayla and asked her what were the best organizations to partner with. So, you know, I go to their meetings and, you know, become seen and known among them and then, you know, enter into a partnership agreement with them so that we can qualify for some of these other grants or at least try to. Again, the historical information, that historical outlook has not looked good, but Yah is in control, and we're going to believe that he will deliver it, you know, deliver it to us. So I'm not looking for anything to happen, because I think the start date for the grants that we applied for, I think it's in September, when they're saying, you know, make your program start in September. So hopefully sometime in late July, early July, mid-July, somewhere in there, we'll hear something from them one way or the other. Again, no news is good news, because they didn't come back and just say no. But they haven't said yes to that. And so as long as it's just me having to spend time to write, to apply, then I'll go ahead and take the time to do that. To apply for those grants. Yeah, hold on just a second. All right, so that is where we're at on that front. Let me bring up any questions so far, anything that I've said.
I don't have any. No.
Okay. So let me bring up the bylaws. We'll continue to review those and try to get them out of the way. Let me correct this. Just one word in a minute. Then we save it. Okay, save that. All right, so the minutes have been corrected, that one word section. We've already agreed and adopted the minutes from last session. Section 1119, safety concern with pets. We tabled until this meeting. I haven't really considered that. Anybody consider that anymore from last week?
No, I haven't.
Okay, neither did I. Didn't even think about it. So we'll go ahead and table that one still, section 1119. We'll come back to it. Because we need to have a firm policy. Because, you know, like I said, we're out there. We are remote. There are wild animals. If pets are going to let us know when something is out there, whether it's a person or whether it is an animal. The dogs will let us know way ahead before, you know, we ever even hear or see anything. I've been looking at the Humane Society. Certain times of the year, they do free donations. In other words, usually when you go to the Humane Society, you still have to pay something for the dog. But I've been looking out there. They have German Shepherds and things like that that they will just give to people. As you know, they will just give the dog to you. Now, some of them I looked at, and I was like, that dog was like a little bit old. Because, you know, anytime you see gray hair on a dog's face, you know, they tell their age just like a person.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, these dogs, some of these dogs look older. And so I'm not really looking to get a dog that is that old. And I'm looking to get, as I said, like between that I can train. And then take up there. My thing is that I can't just take them and just leave them on the land because there's no fencing there. But take them up there and start, you know, letting them be familiar with the property, walking it. I saw one wild animal, which was a fox, last time I was there. But I saw some paw prints. I don't know whether it was coyote or if it was fox. It looked a little bit too big to be a fox, but I couldn't tell whether it was a big dog either. Yeah. But they can, it's wild, so anything will run across the land. But if we have our own dog and we are walking the land, you know, with them, and once I train them on, you know, what the borders are, then, you know, they would, that's all they would go. If they go off the land, then they would get punished. That they know not to do it. Well, again, you're out there, if you're the only person out there, I mean, as the community develops and there's more people there, then yeah, we can implement that. But starting off, I would probably know, because bottom line is, if you're the only one out there, you're the only one out there.
We're getting the dog's property.
Yeah, but until we can put up fencing, everybody's got all things equal. So they don't, nobody's going to put, if we put up fencing for one person, we got to put it up for everybody. That's the way that works. So we would say, okay, we're going to have to fence in each dome. And so we're going to allocate, you know, so much space for yard. And then that, you know, that fencing would have to go up for everybody. So if you do it for one, you have to do it for all. But the kids can play inside the dome. They don't necessarily have to be outside, you know, in the elements. If they're young kids, and I would tell people, hey, don't leave your young kids out here playing, you know, just out in this in this outside yard or anything like that, because you never know what could come up. But they have, the domes have a large enough yard on them that, you know, the play area for those people who have kids to be inside their dome.
Mm-hmm. And all dogs, I don't know, they're just trying to get them.
If somebody got a small dog and they leave their dog unattended and then their dog is just gone, your dog is just gone. Because they, you know, they should know. You know, we'll tell them, hey, you got to watch out. Even here, because when we had Tiger, a hawk flew over and it looked like he was gonna make a pass at it. But because I was out there, you know, it sort of veered off. But usually, a person won't even stop them if they're in for a kill. If you're right there with them, they will come in and still get them. They can even get away. If they see them and they think they want to make a meal out of them, usually you being out there won't deter them. They'll figure they can snatch them and get away before you can get them. So those things we will talk about. And if we're going to require that people keep their dogs, their pets within fences, then everybody, we will have to put in fencing for everyone. Not just the people who have dogs, but everybody. Because everything is equal for everybody. So yeah, we can discuss that when we develop whatever policy is going to be. Let's see here. Let me bring up, let me find the document we worked on last time and bring that up. Then I'll start, we'll start with 1120. Screen so that you guys can view this document at the same time. Okay, let's see. All right, if you'll bring up screen sharing and let me know what documents you're looking at. There's a bylaw.
Yep, bylaw.
Okay, and do you have it, Sister Mary?
I got it.
Okay, thank you.
I can take it a little bit.
I will do that in just a second.
Okay.
How about that?
That's fine.
And what about for you, Sister Mary?
Fine.
Okay. All right, so we're going to start on 1120. We're still going to table 1119. Really need to pray on that and to, because what we all have to do is right now, none of the domes are designed to have a separate yard unto themselves that is, you know, sectioned off. So we'll need to decide how big those yards are going to be because that's going to determine the dome spacing as well. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so, yeah, then we will say, okay, and then what type of fencing we're going to put up. We don't want to put up anything that, you know, has to be replaced within 2 or 3 years, so we'd be looking at buying something quality that would last 10 or 15 years with, you know, normal wear and tear. If not longer, so you know that would have to go into. We'd have to price it out and then include it in, you know, include it in the price for each dome. I know that. 200 feet, which is almost the length of a football field, would kind of be kind of large. So I'm probably going to say if the domes are 40 feet from one side to the other, which I think is what we were doing, 40 feet for the dome circumference, then 20 feet on either side of that, and let's say go back 75 feet. So that's 20 feet on either side, that's 40, plus going back 75. So 40, 80, 40 on either side, and it's actually 80. So that's 120 feet of fence front and back, and then 75 either side, so that would be almost 200 or 300 feet of fence per yard. We would have to look at that and see, you know, that's a lot of fence, and look at the prices. If we're putting it in ourselves, then, you know, the labor we could cut down on. But if we were hiring somebody to put them in, which I don't think we would do, we would do it ourselves. We'd just be looking at material. The perimeter fences will be electrified. Okay, so a wire, a low wire and a high wire, or, you know, three wires on those fences, and they would be electrified so that, you know, in order to come through there, any if a cow hit it, a coyote hits it, it's not going to kill them, but it's going to make them wish they hadn't touched it. And it's going to be, you know, a deterrent. But also the dogs would have to be trained what not to mess with it.
Yeah.
Because it won't be any joke. And then that's something else that we would have to maintain. But the goal would be to, you know, eventually have the entire perimeter around it with an electrified fence. And it doesn't have to be anything tall or, you know, chain link or anything like that. It can be with wooden posts and, this wire is the further we run it, the thicker the wire has to be. And so we would probably have to have some, you know, different section it off so that we don't have to have too thick a wire to run the electricity through. But eventually the entire perimeter would be electrified. And, you know, the community would have to, we'd have to price it out, and the community would have to vote on it, and then we go about getting it done. And we would also do that around the crops so that, you know, no wild animals are just going to, no deer or anything like that is going to come in and just eat the crops for those that we're putting in the ground. So, you know, it's a lot of work. It does take money, but, you know, this is, and if we make the requirement that everybody's going to have a fence in yard for those people who are afraid of pets, afraid of animals, you know, and other people's pets, and people who want to have their own pet within their own yard, then we will sit down as a group and we'll determine how big that's going to be. The numbers I just gave you were just off the top of my head. Yeah, that's going to be too small.
You have patio
homes. Yeah, too small, especially out there on the patio side. I wouldn't get it. You'd want something a little bit bigger than that. You want something a little bit bigger than that. Yeah. There's nothing but land. I would not want to put in, you got nothing but land and just say, oh, well, you know, this is going to be the size of the yard. But we'll make that decision as a group. You can consider it. You know, if a small yard or, you know, a decent size yard, whatever we do, it has to be done for everybody.
I know that. But not having one at all. But now
the dogs are in place. If I was going to do it, I wouldn't want to, because no fence at all means that the dogs just run free.
Yeah.
Okay. So if people got a big dog, a small yard like this, not going to be big enough for a big dog. It will not be big enough. They won't be able to run or do anything. And that doesn't make sense if you've got nothing but land for them to be on. Anyway, that's my thoughts on it, but we'll discuss it when we come back to that. All right, section 11.20, required legal documents. We talked about this before. This is on the website. So the following legal documents are required to become a member of YFCC: a living will, with the alternate agent being a member of the YFCC community. The suggested alternate agent is the member services officer. Because situations can come up where we can't get a hold of somebody's next of kin, a medical decision or something has to be given permission. And so somebody in the community needs to have the authority to do that. And so we decided that it would be the member services officer that would have that authority. The medical power of attorney, so that, again, it has to be agreed upon by each member. But we, you know, one thing having a family member who is outside of the community, but an emergency case and you can't get a hold of that person, then we still need to be able to, if something might come up, somebody might cut themselves deeply, need some type of operation or whatever, then somebody in the community needs to have, you know, be an agent on those documents. End of life plan provides clear instructions for your funeral, remains, services, and more. So they're going to have to be required to have those documents, just in case instructions. Each person will be required to compile your personal, legal, and financial information with just-in-case instructions. You know, everybody has all things equal in the community, but everybody may not bring everything because it may be things that you left to your children or your grandchildren or whoever. So this document is just to have a single document for quick references to help your affairs in case of an emergency. And then a personal care profile. Document your interests, preferences, and key health information for current or future caregivers. So that, you know, when you move to the land, if you've been seeing a doctor for anything, then you would like that doctor to provide a write-up of what type of care, what's wrong with you and what they've been treating. Just in case you have emergency, you have to go to the hospital, and then you can say, here's what has been done in the past. So we had already voted that these were the documents that we were going to have. They are on the website explaining to people when they're looking at the land that they would be required to do this type of document. I think for like one young lady was like, you know, they didn't want to do the documents. I said, well, if you don't want to do the documents, you can't come. You know, the bottom line is, you know, they have a child. I said, something happened to you. What do you want to happen to your child? Because people don't really think. And then who do you want to notify? Do you want somebody in the community to adopt them? Or what do you want done? Have you made an agreement with somebody that if something happens to you, and, you know, if the mother's not with the father, those types of things, you want the father contacted, so forth and so on. So a lot of people, you know, and that may be keeping some people away. I don't really care if it keeps them away because, you know, we need to have that type of documentation that the proper things are done and the person's wishes are respected. Here, this is off right here. So, looking at something going BC. Any questions on the legal documents?
No, I don't have any.
No, but you know, like you said, we did that, and we adopted this on January 19th.
Right. Yeah, I don't know what is causing this to. That should be an A there. Why I think that it should be a B here, I'm not sure. Keeps automatically relabeling it BC. That should be, you got to have an A. So contract renewal. And Sister Mary, write a note for 11.21 that we need to correct the paragraph, not the numbers, but the letters. Doing.
Yeah.
Okay. And right now, I'm not sure how to correct that. I tried to correct it manually, but it keeps going back to B and C. So I think there's an A somewhere. but I don't know where it's thinking that's coming from. Because we got A's and B's up here already. And so if anything, I would have thought that it would have followed out of 1120, where it says E. If anything, it would have labeled that F. But it's labeling it back to B and C, so I don't know where it thinks it's coming from. But I'll figure it out.
I got it down.
Okay, thank you. So contract renewals will be automatic on the member's anniversary date by the member with at least 30 days written notice prior to their anniversary date to the MSC, member services coordinator or committee, of their intent not to renew or in writing to YFCC of its intent not to renew. We need to change of it to theirs. Because we're talking about a person, we're not talking about, you know, an it. Of their intent to not to renew contract within 60 days of the member's anniversary. Let me see if I'm making that. Contract may be canceled by the member with at least 30 days written notice prior to their anniversary date to the MSC of their intent not to renew or in writing by YFCC of, it is correct there. Because now we're talking about the organization of its intent not to renew the contract within 60 days of the member's anniversary date. We already adopted this before as well.
Mm-hmm.
So no need to, I guess, discuss this. Contract suspension. At the request of the member, the coordinating committee is authorized to make the decision to suspend current member contracts on behalf of YFCC and to direct the member service coordinator to sign a contract suspension form. Contract suspensions will be effective at the end of the month in which the member makes a request. Contract suspensions will be done in 90-day increments and shall not exceed 1 year in length without the approval of the coordinating committee. The coordinating committee is authorized to make, that should be a D there. Authorized to make the decision to terminate the current member contract on behalf of YFCC and to direct the member service coordinator to sign a contract termination form after 1 year. Should the member want to keep their residence, there will be a fee charge for contract suspension of 15% of the member's monthly contribution. Should the member not wish to maintain their dwelling, the dwelling would become available for reassignment. The member is required to remove all property from the premises upon departure. The member is required to remove all property from the premises. The member in this situation maintains the membership and is not required to pay any fees. Contract suspension is appropriate in the following circumstances. The death of a close relative requiring the member to leave Yesron Farms Community Co-op to care for the family members, family matters, serious illness of the member or of a close relative, requiring a member to leave Yesron Farms Community Co-op to care for said relative, a business or governmental obligation to leave Yesron Farms Community Co-op that is outside the member's control. So those are the things that we said that the member would be allowed to terminate their contract.
Yeah.
And we'd already voted on this before as well, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, we did.
Okay. So we just need to in section 11-19, we need to hammer down we need to actually nail this down. The pet. So let's go ahead and need everybody's attention, everybody's input on this. We have brought up that, that what if a member is afraid of dogs, people's pets, and so we have said that we have had a suggestion that we put fences around what each person's quarters,
mm-hmm.
and they can have their own dog that is confined to their yard as a suggested remedy for this. If we require fencing, then it has to be for everybody. And so let me do a query online. Well, I know what else I was going to say. Did the annual report of the Corporation Commission for Yeshua and Farms Community Co-op had to file that by the 30th of this month? And so that was done 2 days ago. So we are current for this year. Let's see. Let's see. Change. So information. Say that again.
When did you file the paper?
2 days ago.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. It was a $10 filing fee for the corporation report. And so I just went ahead and did it and took care of it. I don't know if we need to make it that tall. I mean, if you don't want them jumping over, but most people, like all the yards that we had, the fence wasn't but about 4 feet tall. 3 to 4 feet, about 4 feet tall.
They can jump over it.
Well, it's up to their owner to keep it inside the fence. I don't think we need to get extravagant with it. Four by ten. No, that's too small. Too small too. That's like when you are looking at that like that 10 by 10 fence. I mean, it's like the size of our patio. That's not big enough. That's not big enough. At least I don't think it's big enough. Now we can all talk about it.
Well, you can always walk out.
Yeah, but a 10 by 10 area for a dog is nothing. Mm. It's really nothing. Okay, so let's talk about this. My wife was saying that, you know, a 10 by 10 fence area for the dog to be put into. Sister Mary, I guess you wouldn't have an input on that because you probably won't have a pet and don't like pets.
You know, Brother Miles, that people have to train their dogs. That's why I said, can't they walk them on a leash?
Yeah, when they walk them, they're on a leash. When they're back, you're just doing temporary things for you, not long. They get to walk them, but it should be on a leash. They're not guard dogs outside, for the perimeter.
No,
right,
not for the perimeter.
Because you're going to have the dogs, the guard dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm hearing your concerns, both of you.
I agree with you, Mary.
Sister Denise, what's your input on that?
I would say I was thinking since you're gonna have a guard dog, I was saying no pet.
No pet?
Because why would I need my own pet if it's a guard dog? Brother Miles, I would think if you're gonna have guard dogs, wouldn't want the people's pets like guard dogs because they have a job to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, the people's pets won't be intermingling with the guard dogs. But for somebody like
running around off a leash, they
would.
Yeah, it, and jumping a fence. Well, then that's you can't cover everything.
Yeah, but they don't know that. They're not interacting with them. They're not should be, but if they're not, they're like strangers to the.
Yeah, and then they probably get tore up.
Yeah, so So that's why they need to walk around at least so they get to know them. If they do jump the fence, then they know. But anytime they're walking outside, they should be on the leash. But they're not going to be behind that fence 24/7. It's just for them to get out, to get air when they need to be. But the owner should be able to walk them, but walk them with the fence.
You guys are trying to treat this like apartments. It's not like apartments.
It's not like an apartment. Even though we got to guard the perimeter, but people still also got to be protected from other people's animals.
Well, I agree with that. But the problem with this is, just like you got people, when you're in the country, it's not the same thing as when you are in, like, the city.
Yeah, but when you're in the country, it's just you in the country. I live in the country now. So it was our yard, our house, no other houses, no other anything else around for ways, right? So the thing of it is that it is a community. It's not apartments, but it's still a community with a lot of, you know, a lot of domiciles, a lot of, you know. So the thing of it is that people are there, kids are playing, all that surrounding, everybody got their own animal, and their animals should not be friendly with everybody in the community because of the fact that there's always enemies in the camp, even in the Bible, enemies in the camp. So you also got to protect yourself against people as well.
Yeah, no. If you got to protect yourself from people that you're living around, then we got a problem anyway. That should not be
it's
that
always
way.
Not, if you have to, but it's always a precaution. It's always a precaution, no matter what.
Yeah, if this is a religious community, if you got that problem, then we got a problem.
Well, we go by the biblical.
Yeah,
even in biblical stories that we listen to.
You don't have that. You don't have that going on in a family, except for if, like, with David and his son coming against them because of what David did. But that's not traditionally a thing that you'd be looking out for. So if you're trying to protect yourself from community members, then we got a big problem. That's just my opinion.
I want to be looking out for community people. I'll be looking for people that might be coming into the
community. Right.
Uninvited.
Right. Those are who I would be concerned about, but not community members.
Right.
I would have a problem if we had that problem. I mean, a serious problem where we're afraid of some member or members in the community because they shouldn't be there.
It's not saying that we're afraid of them. It's not saying that, you know.
Yeah, there has to be more trust than that. If not, they should not be there. Period.
Okay.
Because everything is based upon that. We're all counting on each other and each other's lives and everything else. As I said, this is not like... It's not like a community like that. If we can't trust each other that way,
it's not saying that we can't trust each other. It's saying that.
That's exactly what it's saying to me.
It's saying that your animal is just you.
In your yard, okay.
In your yard.
That
you're saying they're protecting you from other animals.
Yes, not from other people. Shouldn't
other
be.
People?
Right. Right.
Unless it's not a member of the community, because even if you got your pet in your yard, people gonna, you know, just come visit. They gotta walk into your yard. So, you know, the pet, everybody's pet, should be familiar with everybody in the community as well.
They can do that on the leash.
Yeah, but you go into their yard. They're gonna be on the leash.
But I know they get familiar with people when they're on the leash. When they're on the leash, in your yard, that's one thing. But when they're out walking around, they should not be walking around like the perimeter dogs.
Well, that's not what we were talking about. That's not what we were, you know, you brought up to protect you from people in the community.
No, I said you never, yeah, that too. But it's not necessarily mean that it will
based upon how we have set this up and based upon the premise of everything, that should not be a concern.
So you're saying that everybody that comes in community, we all believe the same.
Yes.
Agreement on everything, but they don't have certain type of personality.
That's why you have a vetting community, and you can't catch everything. Okay, but anybody that presents a problem like that would be asked to leave immediately. If you present a problem like that. That's not the atmosphere that we want to project. It is not the type of community that we want to project. I'm just telling you, okay? It's not what we want to project. We are family, all of us, okay? And if push comes to shove and we're having to fight outside people to protect ourselves, you got to be able to feel like you can trust the person next to you. That's that type of relationship that you can trust them, okay? Everything is built upon that. Everybody has all things in common. Everybody is trusting that you know, and any type of shenanigans that go on, if it's found out, then it has to be dealt with according with the law, period.
So how does that work if that happens and our perimeter dogs are used to them? You know, that person, if there's something happening, you kick them out and they come back in the perimeter dogs.
Then you have the human element there. Because if they're coming back into community, you know, not just coming and setting up camp somewhere on the land, you would hope not. You know, they're going to, only way I can see that being an issue, okay, the perimeter dogs know them. They are able to get onto the land. But the community knows they're not supposed to be there. You know, that you can't count on the dogs to do everything. So they would have to handle that. They would have to handle that in that way. Oh, you know, brother so-and-so, we told him he couldn't come back here, and he's out on the land. He's coming up to do whatever. Okay, then now whoever's in charge of security or whatever, how we do that, they have to handle that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because, yeah, you want somebody in the community, if they're trusted by the guard dog, there's not going to be any way you can tell the guard dog that they're no longer trusted.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if they come back onto the land to do something, then we got to always still be vigilant. If we run into that situation where we let somebody go, then we have to be vigilant. They're not just going to be on the land. Somebody's going to have to see them, that type of deal. You know, you're not going to be able to cover every situation. So even if you got if somebody don't have a dog because they don't want a dog, then if somebody's coming back to do them harm, then they either have to know how to protect themselves or they're going to have to be able to what? Sound the alarm?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're not going to be able to cover everything. So we let brother so-and-so go, brother X go. He has a vendetta. He got past the guard dog. More than likely, he's going to be familiar with the dogs in the neighborhood. But, you know, they're going to have to come in the dead of the night, and we will still have security cameras, those types of things. And if it, you know, if it gets to the point where we're feeling like we are threatened, you know, from anything, even if from somebody that was once a member, then we have to set up, you know, means to protect ourselves against that.
Mm-hmm.
When it becomes an issue, okay, but from the start, it shouldn't be, you know, well, we are generally distrustful of everybody, no matter if they've been vetted or not. That is not the way to start. And that is not not how we want to start the community or run it, because everybody really is dependent upon everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't think that we should be looking at and trying to protect from each other.
Well, yeah, but we have bylaws based on when kicking people out.
So then, but those bylaws will cover that.
Yeah, I know. But if we look,
you got to talk about it with the group.
If we're looking at how you're looking at everything, then the bylaws of letting people go shouldn't be in there. Because we're looking at it as nothing's going to happen because of the family.
No, that's not what we're doing. And that statement doesn't...
I mean, based on what I said and what you're saying...
If somebody shows aberrant or they're misbehaving, the bylaws are designed to address that behavior. Okay? That's what it's designed to do. So we have a guideline. If somebody does this, then this is what we do. If their behavior is not acceptable to the community, or you say, so-and-so is doing this, you bring a grievance, a complaint, then it has to be investigated. Okay, so if a sister says, oh, brother so-and-so has been coming at me inappropriately, then it has to be investigated. Because even the law says you can't bring a charge against somebody if it's one person.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that has to be investigated and then substantiated. If he's cracking on one sister, he's probably cracking on another sister.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If that's his behavior, or if they're running around being drunk, whatever it is, if once the behavior becomes not acceptable to the community, then it has to be dealt with. They are have been asked to be removed from the community or to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Then we know that, hey, that everybody in the community knows whoever it is not allowed to be here. As a community. So anybody sees them.
Okay, and that's what I was saying, that your animal, your dog, should not be, should know, I don't know how they can know.
They wouldn't know.
Training, but that person that they're supposed to be familiar with, and all of a sudden they may be cracking on a sister or trying to make a sister feel uncomfortable or come to their home and their animal is used to them, they're not going to be, you know, that kind of situation.
So then even in that situation, bottom line is somebody has ill intent and it hasn't been revealed yet that they have ill intent. You know, everybody's close enough to where if it's a sister, she should be able to do what? Scream for help.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she has to be able to scream for help and where everybody's close enough. It's not where everybody's on their own little acre of land, and you're split far apart. That's not the way this is designed. Designed that everything is close around so that they can be defended, and that we're a community. Okay, so everybody's not gonna we're not gonna put a tent on, you know, each individual tent on its own acre because you're spread out too far.
Okay, so back to the size of the tent. The dog, so the fence should be in length, not in width.
Yeah, and even you know, if we set the domes like here
mm-hmm.
in that house next door,
mm-hmm.
that's still close enough, okay? Where, you know, if somebody's screaming and you're out there where there's no sound at, then, you know, if somebody screams, somebody should be able to hear them. Somewhere in the community, because if I go outside and scream right now, anybody outside, how far away do you think they could hear?
Huh. Yeah, they can hear. Yeah.
They'd be able to hear it. And it's, you know, so I don't think that, you know, if it's a brother or a sister, you know, like somebody catches them by surprise, then we have to deal with it when we find out about it. Because you can always have some situation come up that somebody knows the community, you know how things work. If they have ill intent, then they might be able to get away for a minute. But the truth of the matter is, when you are vetting people and you're living with people, then you should pretty much know that this person doesn't have this within them. You know, that's why we go through the vetting process to say, hey, what is this person's belief? How are they, you know, when you talk with other people, what type of person are they? We do a background check. That's why I said anybody that, you know, most of our people, most of our men got, what, felonies. You know, and they can be non-violent offenses. They can just be because they got charged with the wrong thing.
Right.
You know,
with the marijuana.
Right, because that's what they do to us.
Well, it's, like I always tell people, it's not always the ones who got caught or had felonies. It's the ones who've never been caught to worry about.
Well, you can't know.
Mm-hmm.
So in my eyes, and we, like I said, we didn't talk about this. In my eyes, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt until you show me if you can't be trusted.
Otherwise.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And so bottom line is if they are quiet and they, you know, they hide their stuff well, as long as no trigger comes up and triggers them, or however that whatever triggers them, then you're never going to know. But once it happens, they may get away with it once. They're not going to get away with it forever. Because
yeah.
Somebody's going to notice. I mean, that's just the way things are. So if they, you know, if you got a brother or a sister, it can be either or.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, start off that way. But the bottom line is, whether it's a brother or a sister, bottom line is you have to know who you're dealing with and you have to feel like you can trust them.
Yeah.
You
no,
know? I don't understand what precautions we would put in, because if we're community and if I come to see you and you got a dog and then your dog is vicious, then
you put him up.
Yeah, put him up.
Mm-hmm.
But then again if your community is like that, then the dog is gonna get to know people.
Well, I think the dog should be trained that they can say these texts. Right. No matter what, even if the person's demeanor, the heart rate, whatever.
No, that's not how that works. Okay.
I don't know how it works. I'm not a dog person, so I know that when a dog can sense things, I do know that.
Yeah, they can sense things.
Yeah,
they can.
Yeah, they'll sense fear.
I'm not a dog person.
Yeah, they sense fear.
I have nothing to say about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can sense fear. Okay. So if somebody is acting fearful,
he's
going to
be in trouble.
They
know dogs have a sense, but they're not going to be, if they were a member of the community, there's no way that you can tell that dog that that person is not a member of the community anymore.
Well, I know, I'm not talking about anymore. I'm saying dogs should not be so familiar with a person so they, if they could eventually, someone, Not saying it'll ever happen, that someone could actually be a threat to their owner, that they would not be friendly with, you know what I mean?
Oh, no, they ain't going to be that friendly.
That's what I'm saying. They shouldn't be that friendly with people in the community is what I'm saying. They should not be that friendly.
Yeah, which dogs are we talking about? Your personal animal is however you train. Okay.
Right, and I ain't going to train mine for whoever hurt me. If you come and try to hurt me, then
the dog was going to do that automatically.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, you can give them signals like, this person's unwanted, unwanted signal, you know, not supposed to be here type signal. Even though you know them, they're not supposed to be here, you know, kind of something like that. I mean, I'm like, there's got to be something.
Yeah. Again, what I say is this, okay. And this is my personal opinion on this, personal feeling. If we are taking in people that anybody has to have a fear of them, because just like Sister Denise just said, her dog, if it's your personal dog, okay, they're going to be attached to you. If I came up and start grabbing on you and the dog knows it's a threat, it's more than likely going to attack. Just by its natural inclination, okay?
Yeah.
That's something you don't train them to do. That's something that if they're a big dog, like German Shepherds, that's the reason why I chose German Shepherds. German Shepherds are protective, like that, of family members by nature. If you are in the household and you got a German Shepherd, he considers himself part of that household. What he will do is this. You can come up like, okay, I'll give you a classic example. When I was a kid, we had a female German Shepherd, okay? And this dog was very protective of us as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
My mother and father would go to the store to get groceries. They come back, we would have to let them in. Once they were in, they were fine. But the dog wouldn't even let them come, if they had been gone, wouldn't let them even come in. And because it looked at them as a threat to the kids. Very protective of us. Okay, that's the way the dog was. All right. Wouldn't let now if my parents were in the house then and, you know, they wanted to whip somebody, they could do that, and the dog wasn't going to do nothing. It knew. But if they had left and was gone 2 or 3 hours or 4 hours, we had to let them back in. Now, that's just the way that dog was. Okay, now, other shepherds that I've had, if you're a family member, they don't never try to bite you or nothing. But let somebody else that don't live in that house, and they know they don't live there, come up and do anything.
Come in.
Well, females are mother dogs for that. Motherly instinct.
No, males, both of them, they ain't even tied to that.
But I mean, because they won't let you in, won't let them in. Y'all had to let them in.
No, that, no, I've seen boy dogs that were that way too. They just, there's certain dogs that are more protective than others. Dogs, if you understand dogs, they're, dogs are pack animals.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't care how big they are or little they are, their nature is to pack.
Mm-hmm.
And what they consider is the family to be their pack.
Right.
And that's why when you have little kids and stuff, then you got to train the dog that the little kid is higher in the pecking order than the dog. Or else he won't take nothing off those little kids. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Just like, remember how King would always, he would bite Rashawn on the toe and stuff like that?
Tiger.
Mm-hmm. Okay? Because he didn't, he considered himself to be higher in the pecking order than Rashawn. Okay?
You know, I was.
Okay. But still, if he bit Rashawn or anything like that, then I would get him and then he wouldn't do it again. But as long as, you know, Rashawn, before that happened,
mm-hmm.
he considered himself higher in the pecking order. So he wouldn't take nothing off Rashawn. Rashawn couldn't discipline him, couldn't do anything, because as he was concerned, I'm higher in the pecking order than you are. So you need to submit to me. That's the way that works.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So most dogs, and like I said, shepherds and any most dogs like that, if they're your own personal pet and they live in a house with you, somebody coming threatening you, no matter if it's a community member, their loyalty is going to be to you.
Yeah, well, that's what I was saying. That's what I was saying. If someone...
But they can know you.
Yeah, I know. But
so you're still not going to be able to do
okay,
that.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that because I don't know dogs, right? So I was thinking that if they got used to everybody, you know, would they be the same? Because that's the case. Somebody, never know, because you don't know people, even though they pass the vetting, everything. It's best to be safe to start. That's all I'm going to say. So what was it, your own personal animal, how would that be if, you know.
Then you train your own personal animal. You train that animal. You really don't even have to train them to do that. If they're your animal, if they are bonded with you, bonded with your family, 99.9% of the time they're going to be protective of the family.
Of the family, yep.
Okay.
Okay. And that's just, you know, that's the bit of having a dog.
Okay.
And if they're a big dog, yeah, they're going to, if somebody comes, you know, if, I don't care who you are, the dog could know you. If you go after somebody that's in that family, they're going to come to you. They're going to come at you.
Okay.
Okay, because you're not part of their pack. Now, if they consider you to be part of the pack, that might be another problem.
Could you go to someone's house enough time to train a dog that you was to attack? The owner not even knowing how you're doing it.
Yeah, that would be somebody that's being sneaky and they got malintent.
Can that possibly happen? I don't know dogs, so I just wondered if that possible.
Anything's possible. Okay. The thing is that even if I go up there and pet that dog and rub on him and stuff like that, and they would let me walk up in the yard by myself, they still would know that their loyalty is whoever's feeding them, typically, but the one who they're living with. Okay. So, you know, I'll give you another example. I had a Mexican friend named Shalon, one of the biggest drug dealers in Houston. He had a Doberman, and his Doberman would sit out in the front yard. You could walk by that yard, that dog would not even look at you twice. You go to walk in the yard, and he's up. Okay. Now, I knew the dog. He would let me come up and ring the doorbell. But if that the little girl that lived in the house was in the yard, I had to call Shalon.
Mm-hmm.
He would not let you go near that little girl. Mm-hmm. If Shalon was not out there, that Doberman would not let me come near that little girl.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And when he thought that it was time for the little girl to go in from her her plane in the front yard, he would grab her by her shirt collar and guide her into the house. And the police came after him. I think he killed somebody. And they came after him, and they had to shoot his dog, but the dog wouldn't let them nowhere in near that house. So they put the dog, they shot the dog to even come close. But if you lived in that neighborhood, people knew. You walk by that house, if you're not a friend to the house, don't walk up in the yard. Mm-hmm. The dog ain't gonna let you come up in the yard. And there was no fence there. He would not come out of the yard. Mm-hmm. But I knew that if his daughter was out there, if the dog was just out there, I could go ring the doorbell.
Oh, he's older
than you? Mm-hmm. I was 15, he was 45.
Oh.
Okay.
How'd you go there?
Because I ran with him. Okay. So,
I remember you telling me that one.
So, that right there, if people have their dog that's in their fence, then that dog is usually going to bond with that family. If they're feeding the dog halfway decent, then the dog's not going to let anybody bother them or come up there. The dog can sense a threat. And they will protect you. That's a given. Now, as far as community members and being of the attitude that nobody can be trusted, yeah, I don't really want that mentality. The bottom line is we are a community, and, until somebody proves otherwise, that's the way it should be.
I know you don't want that. Nobody wants that, but you do have that in the bylaws.
We have in the bylaws if somebody misbehaves, then this is how we handle it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because as you said, you're going to always never know. But to stay community, and then the first thing is nobody trusts anybody, then no. Wouldn't even want to be a part of it.
I didn't say go and not trust anybody, but it's always got to be.
Yeah. Trust me. If I don't trust you, I don't trust you.
Okay. Right. Well, we don't want to go in and we're not trusting anybody. I understand what you're saying about what I said, but if that was the case of what I said and how you disagree with what I said, it would not be in the bylaws, and it's there, so evidently it was thought about.
It's thought about from the standpoint that people can misbehave, okay?
Yeah.
And people can become disgruntled, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Or people can say that they are lawful, but then, that's the problem I have with a lot of their brothers. With drinking alcohol and all this kind of stuff, some people, they drink and they changed it from Dr. Jekyll into Mr. Hyde.
Uh-huh.
So if I know that they're that way, if you got that type of personality to do something like that, you're not gonna be able to hold that back forever.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna sooner or later you're gonna get comfortable enough to where, oh, I can get drunk, and then somebody gonna see that personality. Boy, did you know that brother was like that? Nah, they never showed that. Okay, then we need to keep an eye on that brother, and he needs to be counseled. Hey, we don't do that here. And if it's, if it happens again, because there are things that, how do I say this to you? The intent to follow the law, that everything is based upon the scriptures, that if somebody is going to go against that, then they have to be dealt with. That's anybody. Any other concerns in that area?
No.
Any concerns from you, Sister Denise?
I left off for a minute. What was he talking about?
What? You done left the conversation?
Yeah.
No, we were still talking about the same thing, having general trust in each other.
Oh, yeah.
Your thoughts, Sister Mary?
As far as trusting people, well, you don't know until they show their color.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
You just have to wait and see on that one.
So, as I said, my thing is to trust you first, until you give me a reason not to.
Yeah.
And then once you give me a reason not to, then it's hard to get that back. Okay. So this section, well, let me go back.
Still on the pet thing.
Yeah. So.
Well, I would say no dog, since we're going to have a guard dog.
Well, you know, what she's bringing up is, if you don't have a guard dog, then if you got a disgruntled member, then you're basically left with, what, protecting yourself? So there's pros and cons to both. Okay, so if we say, you know, we got guard dogs to guard the perimeter, but then if somebody in the community starts acting ugly, you know, for whatever the reason, let's say with you, some brother come up and just start, or sister even, comes up and starts hitting on you, then you're going to have to, what, defend yourself? But if you got a dog, would the dog come to your defense?
Yes, it will.
Okay, so that's where we were at.
Well, he's going to get away and go.
I hear you. Does Mary look like you about to say something?
Who, me?
Yes, ma'am. I know you used to pull out the AR-15.
Yeah. Point blank.
Okay. But if they can get to you before that, then there might be an issue. I guess it might be on. But we can't cover, what, every possible situation?
Right.
So
you can't, not when you're dealing with people.
Right. So you have to be able to either protect yourself if something comes up like that, or if you have an animal and it's confined to your yard, because we're talking about putting in yards, putting in fences, then the animal is typically going to come to your, you know, going to be on guard for you.
Right.
And, you know, we're discussing whether, you know, because Sister Denise brought up, well, because we got guard dogs guarding the perimeter, doesn't really address internal issues, is what was brought up. So either we make a rule, no dogs, or we make a rule, people can have pets, but they got to be fenced in, and if we do that, then we got to provide fencing for everybody. So let's vote on it. Under option one, no pet for anybody. All in favor of that? Say aye.
Aye.
Mary says aye. Mr. Denise?
I don't say no aye, because I really want a dog.
Well, you know what? I think people need to control their pets like they need to control their children.
Well, yeah, that's why we're talking about having them fenced. And if they're walking them, then, yeah, have them on a leash.
But that's what I'm saying. As long as they're on a leash and you can control them, I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
Okay. Then if we are cool with that, then we'll just make that part of the rules that
they must be leaving there.
When they're not in their own yard.
Right. That's fine.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's read this and see where we'll put this in at. Because this is written assuming that people are already going to be able to have pets, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So A, if an incident occurs where an uncaged pet of YFCC jeopardizes the safety of any other member, uncaged pet member or guest. Okay. That second part right there doesn't make sense. If an incident occurs where an uncaged pet member of YFCC jeopardizes the safety of any other member, uncaged pet member or guest. So this is actually written like you got the uncaged pet there. It's assumed that you got one uncaged pet threatening another uncaged pet or members or guests. In other words, you got a dog that's not controlled.
Right.
The following steps are to be followed. The incident is to be reported to all members of the pod where the uncaged animal resides. Members of the other pods that may be affected by the incident, YFCC member service coordinator. So I think that from the beginning, let me just start writing.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, I'm going to make sure that we cover it all right here.
Because you know what, Brother Miles, if I had a pet, you came in my house, I'm going to put my dog up unless you need it.
Yeah, see, not everybody's going to do that because they're going to feel like the pet is at their house. And if you have a pet that you know is not going to bite people, then most people who own pets won't do that. Now, if the pet has been known to bite people, or is, you know, excessively noisy or something like that, because they bark at everybody, people will usually put them up.
They do have these little barking devices. I give it to my grandmother. It works. They constantly bark, bark, bark. It'll keep them from barking. There's no stop call or nothing. Little device, you turn it, and it's a decimal thing that they hear, and then they'll stop.
Yeah, that's something for barking, but...
No, I said, like, my grandma's house, the dog kept barking the whole time. Don't know how to not train to bark at strangers.
The word we want to use, I don't want to use weight.
PC.
Okay. How do you spell PC? I don't want to use the common term. PC. How do you spell that?
F-E-C-E-S.
Okay. Thank you.
Dropping? You dropping? Dumb?
These two are fun.
Okay.
Anything else anybody can think of? Because you can't really require somebody to put their dog up in their own house if they don't want to put them up.
That's what I would do.
Right. But you have people who treat their pets like one of the family. And the dog won't come up and bite you or anything like that. And I understand you don't even want them sniffing you.
No, not really.
And see, cats are a whole nother matter. It's hard to train a cat to do anything.
Not really.
You can train your cat to stay away from people?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I've never had luck with cats.
Yeah, that and stand on kind of top.
Now, you got a cat? Who said yes? That's Sister
No,
Mary.
I don't. I don't have pets at all.
Who was saying they got a cat? That must have been Sister Denise.
I had a cat. I got rid of him.
Why?
Seen him.
Did he used to jump on the counters?
No.
On the table?
Nope.
Yeah, then you had a well-trained cat. Because most people I know that got cats, they'd be all over the place.
No, he wouldn't jump on the couch or table.
I could help out, you know, someone scratch up your chairs.
Right.
I'm allergic to both cats and dogs.
You're allergic?
Mm-hmm. Unless the dog allergic to their dander. Short haired dogs have more dander.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see.
How
I think that's covered it all.
All right, now, I believe, I could be mistaken, but I believe Sister Mary wants people to be required to put their pets up if somebody come over.
I said I would.
Right.
I couldn't tell nobody.
Well, they're your protection. You can't put them up. They can't get out there. You need the protection.
Okay. So we won't so you're not trying to bring that as an official requirement then?
No.
Okay. So then we'll leave that out.
Should there be a certain time of day they can bring them outside?
No.
No?
Oh, okay. Why would we be trying to restrict people to when time they can have their pets out and that kind of stuff? Okay. So this covers the main concerns, right?
Mm-hmm.
You think it's bold enough for people to see it?
Yeah.
Now, so now we're back to the original document. If there's an incident that occurs of any uncaged pet, then it needs to be what, reported? Because,
yeah.
You know, you can tell people they got to have their dog on a leash. That don't mean they're going to always do it.
Oh, okay. That's okay.
So if they don't put the dog on a leash and it...
But it wouldn't be uncaged. It'll be unleashed, wouldn't it?
Yeah, either this will cover both.
Okay.
Because we're, because we got it in there, all pets must be on a leash when not in their property. They could be uncaged on their property. They could be unleashed on their property, right?
Right, but if they don't want to follow those three little rules, then they shouldn't have pets.
Yeah, well, we'll have to...
So those three rules for everybody, not just one.
Right. So... Do we allow, you know, if somebody has an infant, do we say after the first infraction or any infraction? Because somebody could open their gate and what happens?
The dog get loose
and runs out.
The dog gets
loose. So, yeah, I mean, but this is just.
They're not trained to do that now.
Well, it could be. It could just be the dog's nature. Some dogs, like Tiger, wouldn't chase other dogs. But typically, dogs are going to chase other dogs. Okay. So, or dogs like to run. And if they haven't been out, you open up the gate, they run out. Now the dog is, what, uncaged? And... You could run into the situation where right now we're saying if they jeopardize the safety. So, you know, they could just be out and they're not really jeopardizing somebody's safety. But if they're running and barking at people or growling, then we got a problem.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because they are jeopardizing somebody's safety or another, you know, animal. And if somebody else is, then there's another problem anyway, right?
Yeah.
Well, so if they're uncaged, I think we should change that to, because if they're caged, they're going to be in their own yard. And we can change this just for clarity. So if an incident occurs where an unleashed pet, we don't even have to have a member. Pet of YFCC. Member. Pet. Jeopardizes the safety of any other member, pet or guest, the following steps are to be followed. The incident is to be reported to all members of the pod, whether uncaged or okay, anybody have any problem with that wording? What? Resign.
So even if they come out, you consider them unleashed.
Right, if they come out. So if they got loose, they need to get them up under control real quick, especially if they were threatening people.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody, you know, if you got a dog that ran out of the fence and they're not threatening anybody, the owner still needs to get them under control and get them either on a leash or back into their yard.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that would just be normal. But if we're talking here, if they would jeopardize the safety of somebody, that means that they're running up on them, they are threatening by growling or trying to bite or whatever.
Anything that have a resident uncomfortable, according, I don't know.
No, it can't be any because the dog is.
Okay, because they could be there. Yeah, I could be there and it's still uncomfortable.
Right.
Yeah.
And we have to be reasonable.
Well, I know. I was just wondering. I was just putting it out. Yeah. Because you think it, but it doesn't, you know, you say it and then it's like, oh.
Yeah, you know, you got to be reasonable. Okay. If you got a fear of dogs and one is running around, then you might be uncomfortable, but the dog may not be threatening you.
I know, no matter what.
Yeah. Things can happen. And so I know animals. And if somebody's animal happens to get out of their gate and run around,
mm-hmm.
they can't be running around and shooting their dog just because they got out.
Good God, not let somebody know that, you know, their owner's in distress.
Yeah, but if you know, dog ain't gonna run up and tell nobody that.
Well, they can't, but.
They ain't laughing.
What? Your family's laughing? They're like laughing. Oh, they're on TV.
Yeah. All right. Paragraph A and 1. Any objections to that writing?
No, I don't have any.
Sister Mary?
No.
Mr. Miles?
No.
Okay. Paragraph 2. The member services coordinator will work with the member to come up with a place the pet can stay as a backup plan in case the pet must be removed from the pod. Okay, so.
No.
Have a who?
This?
Yeah, I don't think this applies.
This is like if somebody, if the dog bit.
If, you know, threatening, they don't really have to bite because if they are, you know, run up on somebody and they're growling at them.
You can't move, you can't do nothing.
You know, they're actually being a threat. A dog running up and sniffing somebody is not necessarily a threat. Even though the person may not like it and may take it as, you know, I'm scared of them. But the dog didn't really do anything. It's just being a dog.
Right.
But if they run up on somebody and, you know, they snap at them, you know, they threaten them, then there's a problem. Okay. So in this case, it's saying the member services coordinator will work with the member to come up with a place the pet can stay as a backup plan in case the pet must be removed from the pod. We've already said that if we have pets, we're going to have what, yards?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where their dogs should be at. We shouldn't have to come up with a place. I don't think this is assuming like an apartment complex or something.
Right.
You know, where you may not have a place set aside for people to keep their pets. Because most people
right.
in an apartment complex keep the pet in the house or
mm-hmm.
that kind of deal. So I don't think paragraph 2 applies. Because the pet can go back and stay with them, we're still going to remove the pet.
Yeah, we're going to stay with them, but they got the pet, so you still going to take always come to them.
Well, then that's on them. But they need to teach the dog not to.
Not a lot of times.
But no, in this case, no. The problem is the dog threatens somebody.
Yeah.
So if the dog is threatening somebody, then, you know, then the rule should be that the dog has to go.
Right.
But they'll go right away
yeah.
or the board, you know, committee or
the, you know, the committee's gonna come up. That's gonna be the rule of thumb.
Will it automatically leave that or?
I mean, we could put that in there as a rule, but we have to vote on that.
Yeah.
Okay. So, right now the way it's written is that if the dog threatens somebody or another pet, in other words, the dog is out of control. Then the member service coordinator will come up with a place for the pet to what to stay at until it can be removed. No, then they'd be required to chain them up in their fence. If the dog, no, not if you do it right now. I've seen dogs that people put like a tire, a rim on the chain of dogs. If he's a big dog, he'd drag the rim.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen too many dogs that can break a chain, especially if it's a good size chain. Well, that dog was determined to get out.
Yeah.
It only usually happens. Okay, so paragraph 2, the way this is written, if we are requiring everybody to have fences, then and the dog got uncaged, out of the fence, then and they threaten somebody, you know, why would we have a separate area that they take the dog at? Because now they're relinquishing control of the dog. That's what that would be about.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only reason why you would take it and put it somewhere else. But then if the dog is like that, who's gonna go near the dog?
Well, they can go to the dog to feed it and whatever they need to do.
No, this is to remove the dog.
Yeah, but what I'm saying until the dog is removed, either you got to remove immediately or they got to vote on that. See, that's something you can put in the bylaws, immediately removed, or put them someplace until y'all do whatever to get have it be removed.
Yeah. I can see that, but I in this case, is that we have to have a separate kennel. You need to go hear your dog,
mm-hmm.
and your dog's got to go. Your thoughts? Sister Mary, Sister Denise, got to get quiet.
I'm on mute. I said the same thing. I think that's they have to go, right away.
Okay, what about the part? Okay, we're gonna have to walk through the scenario, okay?
Okay.
Somebody's dog gets out, and they're not just running up on people, because, dogs will do that, but they are actually threatening people. Coming up, barking at them, making it seem like they want to bite them, do that kind of stuff.
Right.
Not that they actually bit them, because then that would be an actual attack. That's more than a threat. That's an actual action.
Right.
By the
way.
But the threat is, you know, they're running up on somebody and they're threatening them. Then it's saying that the member services coordinator will work with the member to come up with a place the pet can stay at as a backup plan in case the pet must be removed from the pile. So it's in this way this is worded, good that the pet is staying what, in the pod?
Yeah.
Okay. But we are saying putting up our own fencing for each, you know, for each yard. So if the pet is threatening someone, then do we say that they got to go, that the pet has to be removed immediately? Or do we say that the owner has to come up with a way to restrain the pet?
No, I would say you have to be removed immediately. If you're going to put a person out for misbehaving or threatening people, why not? You're not going to put a dog out?
I'm asking a question because the dog can't read the bylaw. But,
well,
but the person, you know, dogs will be dogs. And if they get out, if he's actually threatening, then you're saying that we should just have him, the dog has to go immediately.
Oh,
I'm not against that. Yeah, I'm not against that.
Yeah, I said so.
Well, yeah, I would say so too. But on the other hand, they're threatening and not actually attacking. Attacking, who they have to do? Whether attacking,
well,
considered,
if he threatened you, how to attack a fall.
Well, that's true. That's true. But sometimes they do. I've been in a situation where they stood in front of me and just barked and teeth all showing. I almost peed my pants. But it was when I was younger, you know, did that. And
well,
the person came and
they
got, person
they
came and got the dog.
I'm going to have me an AK for 15, so it don't make no difference.
The person came and got the dog, so, you know, it could be a warning, to give a warning for that. And if it happens again or whatever, then it's automatic dismissal. Or, you know, but if they actually attack or bite somebody and jump on
them, then they're supposed to be put down.
Oh, they're going to supposed to be in the bylaws to put them down?
Yeah. You put down because they bit somebody. They bit a member of the community.
If they bite somebody one time, they'll bite them again.
Right.
That's true. That's true.
So that, you know, for me, if a dog bites somebody and they got out and they bit somebody, then that's an automatic
put down. Oh, no, that makes some sense. So would it have something in it to ask the question, if they bring a dog in, has it ever interviewed the dog, basically the deal with the dog? They have ever bitten anyone? Or,
I mean, yeah, those questions could come up in the interview.
Yeah.
They say they got a pet. Has the dog ever been known to do these things?
Mm-hmm.
If they say no, then again, you still got to take their
word for it. Yeah. But still knowing the dog's behavior after a couple of days.
Yeah, they'll show themselves.
But they would have to also bring the dog.
Yeah.
To know how it is.
Well, they may not bring the dog right away. They may, you know, the dog won't be with them when you do the interview or whatever.
Well, you know, it was at the farmer's market and them dogs started barking at each other like that? Well, that's something we don't.
Yeah, that's something that's the way dogs are.
Yeah, but there were some dogs that didn't do that, though.
Right, but every dog is not the same. Mm-hmm. Some dogs are vocal, and, you know, and they're not going to do anything.
Well, there was the owner had to jerk them
right,
on the back.
Yeah, but you got to understand that is their way of keeping them under control.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you want to jump at this dog or whatever, usually those are the real scary ones. You know, they all mount.
Like the chihuahua?
Yeah, especially chihuahua.
Oh,
but,
no.
Yeah,
nobody comes to chihuahua. Nobody ever has me. Chihuahuas bark no matter what.
Yeah, so with this, if they are threatening, then we can say they have to be removed immediately. If they bite somebody, then, you know, the bottom line is if it's the scenario they got out and they just ran down the street and bit somebody, if somebody bit them, then, yeah, they should be put down. And the owner needs to understand that coming in, that, hey, your dog just bite somebody for no reason, they'd be put down. Now, if you go up in their yard and they bite you, then you're on their territory.
Right.
And that's a whole different thing.
Somebody said I was invited and they bit me.
Going to be, you know, then you can we can look at, you know, sanctioning the owner. We say, hey, you know, you're inviting people over. You didn't control your dog. They bit somebody. There's consequence for that.
So what if they say, well, I'd rather leave with my dog than have my dog is put down?
They can leave. Can't stop them from leaving. They're still obligated to their financial obligation because that's not at YFCC's fault. Yeah, in all of this, there is, just like you said, we're at the farmer's market, people walking around with their dog on leash. Most dogs come up and sniff each other's butt. That's how they get to know each other. That's what they do, sniff each other's butt. And that's really how they get to know each other. And then you got dogs that don't want their butt sniffed. So they might growl at the other dog. Don't come close to me. Or they might, you know, some dogs just like to bark to be able, you know, everything has to be understanding that comes along with pets.
So if they don't leave and they don't want their dog to be put down,
there ain't no such thing. If the dog bites somebody, the rule will be their dog was put down. That, you know, and whoever they bit would have a right to do it. But, you know, we would have somebody in the community that would do it. And the owner can fight about it, and we'd be like, hey, you know, you don't want your dog put down, and you got to go. And you got X amount of time to go.
So when you say that, are they still obligated?
Yeah, they're still obligated. They are responsible for what their pet does. So if they don't want to get rid of the pet, and the pet did something that is, you know, requires it to be put down, or to be gotten rid of. So, okay, the dog threatened somebody and has been continually threatening people. You know, you got to get rid of the dog. We're not going to put the dog down. You can take it to a shelter, do whatever. But you can't stay here. If they actually bite somebody, then the pet should be put down. Because if you do it, you know, anywhere near like the world does, if a pet bites somebody that is not warranted, the state will put the pet down. And I don't see where we should be any different in that regard. Is there a law about an animal that attacks a person? Anybody remember that?
Bite somebody, you should sue that person.
I know a pit bull. Would they have to have insurance?
We're going to look at what the scripture says, okay? If this is covered in the scripture. You just don't remember that law?
Oh, I don't. Are you married?
Say
it. Okay, let's go to Exodus chapter 21. And let me move it onto my screen. We can just do it from here. So you're looking at your computer, looking at my screen. Do you see my Bible on your screen now?
No.
Okay, let me stop sharing.
Yes. And I'm nodding on y'all.
Don't be nodding, sister.
I know, I told you.
Don't be out there killing somebody's dog tomorrow. Y'all didn't ever tell me.
We might have came on them.
I know, huh?
Yeah. All right. Can you see my screen now? You better bring up the Bible.
Yes.
Okay. So let's look at this. Okay. I told you everything's in the scripture. We're supposed to be going by the law of the Most High first, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. If an ox gore a man or a woman.
What are you at?
I'm at Exodus 21:28. You should be looking at my screen. Exodus 21:28.
Okay.
If an ox gore a man or a woman, that they what?
Stone.
Then the ox shall surely be what?
Stone. good to them.
And his flesh shall not be seen, but the owner of the ox shall be what? Quit means innocent. Okay, because you killed the ox, right?
Hold on. Gore. When gore, does that mean just attacked, or does that mean murdered or killed?
It says that they die.
Okay, they die, right?
Mm-hmm.
They die. Now, if they die and have family, and they take care of the family, okay? So if that happens, what happens to the family?
I'm not.
What I'm saying, or they do it and the person is crippled and can't walk anymore.
Yeah, we'll look at the scripture.
Okay.
But if the ox were wont to push, was known to push with his horn in the what?
Hey.
And it has been testified to the owner. Now, look at what this is saying. He that has not kept him in, but he that has killed a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned, and who else?
The owner.
Also shall be put to death.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, the Most High don't play about this stuff, right?
Yeah.
So if you got a dog that you know, the dog does this case, the ox killed somebody. Now, if he was known, because you got, do you have cows that might butt somebody or a goat?
Okay.
They can butt you and not what, kill you? But then if they were known to push with their horn in times past and has been testified to the owner, and he has not kept him in, but that he has killed a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned and the owner also. So if you got an animal that has killed a man or a woman, a dog that has killed a man or a woman, then the dog is supposed to die. But they even decided that if they just bite you, they're what, supposed to be put down.
Attack your bitch, like kids or whatever, they put them down. They take them in and put them down. But they don't have to kill them. It's attack. But what is the justification for the person that attacked them?
There is no, the justification is that, you know, that family's dead. The man's supposed to, whoever the owner is, supposed to make restitution.
Yeah.
Okay. But if he has, it's been known that their animal did that in the past, and they didn't handle it, they didn't take care of it, it's supposed to lose their life too.
So how do they make restitution in the community when everything's in the community?
They would have to pay the community whatever it's going to cost to take care of that person or that person's family. We'd have to look at that. Because
mm-hmm.
we can't, if we're going to go by the laws of the Most High, then we need to go by the laws of the Most High, or we don't go by them at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you know, you have, like outside of that, just say not in the community, right? What happens here, if somebody got into a car accident and says a bus driver, and they crippled a person where they can't ever work again,
then that's covered in here.
Okay.
It's covered. If you're responsible by the law of God, if you cause somebody to be sick, then you are to
take care of that person.
How would that person do that when everything is in the community, though?
Whatever that person needs. Okay, and it's not just a financial thing. Because people want to look at it all financial. Financial is taken care of. Okay, but that person, if they're crippled, if they need to be pushed around,
mm-hmm.
they need to, they're the ones who are going to do it because they are what? Right, they're the ones responsible.
Now, what about if they pass and they have family, like children?
Then, no, it talks about this stuff right here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so verse 30, Exodus 21 and verse 30. If there be laid on him some, because if, okay, let's say that the man can redeem his life, okay? So if, let's say it was me, and my ox gored somebody to death, and it was known that my ox had gored somebody to death in the past, then it says the ox is supposed to be killed, and who? Me as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But it says, if there be laid on him a sum of money, family comes and say, hey, you pay us $25,000, then it shall give him, he shall give it for a ransom for his life, whatsoever is laid upon him. So the family can come and say, you know what, your animal killed my family member, we want X amount of money. If he can't pay it, then the first penalty goes. He's put to death. If he can pay it, then he ransoms his own life. Okay, so he pays him that, whatever that money is.
So who are I? Put people to death.
Yeah. In this case, like this, yes. And everybody would need to understand that coming in. Because we're not, what are we not supposed to do?
Take things to the court.
To the world. Right.
To the world.
Because aren't you able to judge the least bit matter? If you're going to judge angels, can't you judge the least little bit matter? That's what makes this different. And it has to be by this standard. Can't mix this in the world. It's a different standard. The world would say, hey, that man might get what? Life in prison?
Yeah.
Right. That's not what God says. And that's the problem. People don't want to do this what he says. People don't want to do his judgment. This is his judgment. Samira, you didn't get quiet again. Wake up. So Samira, wake up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am.
You don't want to sleep on it?
Almost.
All right, let's do this. I'll make a motion that we table, that we revisit this on next Thursday, and we will go through the scriptures on what the scripture requires of this, and then we'll make our decision as to what actions we take. Amen?
Amen.
Because we understand we're based upon the laws of the Most High. We're based upon his judgment. His judgment is that person was supposed to die. The world will say, hey, that person might go to jail for the rest of their life. And one of the things Most High says is that, hey, you don't do my judgment. Are we going to do them or are we not? Okay. So we will put this down right here. I make a motion that we table this discussion until next week. Do I have a second?
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The ayes have it. This discussion is tabled till next meeting. We'll pick it up right here. We'll look at what the scriptures say concerning this. And then we will write our bylaws based upon this. Okay, so I make another motion that we call this meeting to, that we adjourn this meeting for this time. Do I have a second?
I second.
I know Sister Mary second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Sister Mary, if you will pray us out.
Thank you, Father Yah, for allowing us to have another productive meeting. And I hope we get these animals together. We follow your laws with these animals. Bless Brother Miles, Sister Miles, and Sister Denise, whoever else is online. In Yeshua's precious name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Bless Sister Mary.
Thank you.
Good night, friend.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, Shalom family. I'm going to go ahead and roll the credits. We will meet again on next Thursday. We will pick it up right here. I will get all the scriptures together concerning this because have said this is what we are based upon. And so that's what we're going to write. And anybody coming, they would have to also know this. And, you know, it probably takes a lot of people away. But that's okay. So, thanks.
you have no women. I think it's amazing, it's beyond my understanding. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You're always there, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. Sometimes all I wanna do is jump, lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptize, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time for Shabbat. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpachah, good vibration. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. Always there, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't? Without you, there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always there, teach me the way. Pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect.
Oh, I'm